Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nedarim Daf Pei. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur, please take note, begins at the bottom of Daf Ayin Tes Amud Beis. 6 lines from the bottom of Ayin Tes Amud Beis, you see a Dibor Maschil from the Mishnah Im Erchatz. We saw in our Mishnah a Machlokas, Tanakama, and Rabbi Yossi, if a vow that a woman takes not to bathe is considered a vow of Inui Nefesh. Before we begin the actual Gemara text, we glance at the side of the Gemara. We have a Nosei Mivneh heading. Nosei, the topic heading, Mivneh, structural note. You'll notice the double underline, one of our series markings. So we've indicated that the double underline that you'll see that starts here in our Gemara and continues down Daf Pei Omid Aleph, and you'll see it, as I say, continues. This represents Shlavim. These are stages. Lahazbir be'eza loshon nodra be'inyan im erchatz. What language did she actually use? What was the text of her vow when she said im erchatz deboi hafora, that would require, if the husband should so desire, annulment? Rabbi Yossi choylek, and Rabbi Yossi would disagree. So you can see, as you look ahead, as we mentioned, you'll see there are three stages in presenting this. Hechi ko'omar. What did the woman say? If she vowed that the fruits of the world will be usur, will be forbidden to her if she should bathe, lama lo hafora. Why is there any need for the husband's involvement in terms of annulment? Lo tirchatz, velo litzuron peros oilam ala. Let her simply not bathe. And with that, so the fruits of the world are not going to be prohibited to her. V'od, another objection to this suggestion is, behal leimo Rabbi Yossi, would Rabbi Yossi say regarding this text, this suggested text, Ein Elu Nidre Inui Nefesh, that there is no Inui Nefesh involved over here? Dilma Rachatza, she might bathe Yitzru Peros Oilam Allah, and the fruits of the world will be usur to her. So how can Rabbi Yossi suggest that there is no element of Inui Nefesh over here, when in fact Inui Nefesh, the woman experiencing suffering, would be realized if in fact she does bathe? So the suggested text of Koinam Peros Oilam Olai Im Erchatz is not accepted by the Gemara. V'ela, we continue at the top of Daf Pei. V'ela de Omra, rather, she said, and take note of the fact that we have a long marking here. So the suggestion is, she said, Koinam Hanoas Ruchitza Olai L'Oilam Im Erchatz. She prohibits the pleasure, the benefits of bathing on her forever if she bathes. Mishum hachi mefir lo. Because of this, the husband would have to annul the vow if he should so desire. The hechi tavid, what should she do? Tirchatz, if she bathes, mitzuro hanoas ruchitza lo, then the pleasure and benefit of bathing will be usur, will be prohibited to her. Lo tirchatz, if she should take the route of not bathing in order to, we'll say, fulfill the condition, the tenai, then is lo nivla, she will become disgusting. A woman who lives a life without any bathing. So the husband, in order to relieve her of this vow, he would have to annul. She has no option, as we just said. If she takes the option of bathing, so then she'll be in violation of the vow. If she doesn't bathe, so she'll become disgusting. Rabbi Yossi Savar, Efshur Delo Rochatza, Rabbi Yossi takes the approach that, well, it's possible for her not to bathe. V'linivul lo chashinan, and for her becoming disgusting, this is not something that is of any concern. We don't concern ourselves with that. As far as Rabbi Yossi is concerned, as we saw in the Mishnah, this is not in the realm of inui nefesh, of personal suffering. The Gemara asks, if this is the explanation of the Mishnah, then listening hachi, the text should have read thusly, Rabbi Yossi Oimer, Tnai Zeh, Ein boy inui nefesh. The condition of this vow doesn't have within it an element of inui nefesh. The Ran explains what is really bothering the Gemara. So we look together at the Ran on the third of the widest lines. Ihachi listni hachi, Rabbi Yossi Yomer Tnai Zeh Ein Bo Mishum Inui Nefesh. Pirush Rav Rabbeinu Yoina. The Rabbeinu Yonah explains, "Dahashto detana." Now that the Mishnah states "Ein elu nidre inui nefesh," this was the actual text of our Mishnah. Mashma, it implies the mishum she'ein haneder inui nefesh lo yofer, because the text of the neder, the vow itself, in contrast to the condition. The condition is reflected by the term im erchatz in our case. Here, by the Mishnah saying ein elu nidre inui nefesh, it creates the impression that the reason there is no need for annulment is because the body of the vow is not one of inui nefesh according to Rabbi Yossi. And therefore, lo yofir, it's not within the realm of the husband to annul. Aval im nodra midi diis be inui nefesh yofir. However, had the vow been one of inui nefesh, as we'll see very shortly, the example of she prohibits upon herself the fruits of the world, then yofir, then the husband would be able to be mefer. Valeso, and that is simply not true. See, the language of the Mishnah, if you're going to use this explanation, the number two explanation, is going to be misleading. The kevon de betno leko inui nefesh, since in the condition part of the vow, namely im erchatz, the issue of non-bathing is not an inui nefesh issue according to Rabbi Yossi. Afilu nodru beperos oilom lo yofer. Had she, let us say, vowed, koinem peros oilom alai im erchatz, prohibited be upon me the fruits of the Lord if I bathe, the husband will not be able to annul that. Uchlamrina bereish sugin, as it said at the beginning of our discussion, lomo lo hafora, why should there be any hafora? Lo tirchatz velo litzru peros oilom alo. Let her not bathe, and thereby avoid the prohibition of the fruits of the world. So, if we use this explanation, then the number two explanation, namely, then the Mishnah should have said that Rabbi Yossi says this kind of condition doesn't require does not lend itself to hafora. By the Mishnah stating, as it does, that ein elu nidre inu nefesh, without emphasizing the tenai aspect, you're leaving us to believe that if we would change the text of the basic vow, then the husband would be able to be mefer. And that is not true. Therefore, we continue. Elo di omra, the woman said, Hanoas rechitza olai lo'olam im erchatz hayom. She prohibits upon herself the benefit of bathing forever if she bathes today. Now, there's a big turnaround in this presentation, in this number three stage. And we glance at Rashi, who says, Elo li'oilam im Rabbi Yossi rechitza nami havi inu nefesh. In fact, rechitza, bathing, is related to inui nefesh. Our Mishnah, where Rabbi Yossi said, as a reaction to the Tanakama, who spoke about rechitza, and Rabbi Yossi says, "Ein elu nidre inui nefesh," it's talking as follows: "Kegoin de omra im erchatz hayom," where she prohibits the benefit of bathing if she bathes today. The Hainu time of Rabbi Yossi, the Omer Ein Elu Nidre Inui Nefesh. The reason that there is no element of Inui Nefesh here is the Lo Asili De Inui Nefesh. She isn't going to come to a situation of actual suffering. The Lo Rochat Sayom Velo Nitzra Nos Rechit Salah. Let her simply not bathe today, as the condition says, and she will thereby avoid the prohibition of the benefits of bathing. Falek elo nivul diome, there's only the problem of being uncomely or disgusting, repulsive just for the day. After the day passes, she can bathe whenever she wants. The Gemara continues. Rabbi Yossi Sovar, as we just saw in the Rashi, Rabbi Yossi holds Nivul de Chadyoima lo Shmei Nivul. So at this point, when the Mishnah spoke about the vow of Im Erchatz, and Rabbi Yossi reacts to that as saying Ein Elu Nidre Inu Nefesh, what she really said was what we see here in suggestion 3. She prohibited upon herself permanently the benefits of bathing if she bathes today. And with regard to that, Rabbi Yossi says the Baal, the husband, the husband cannot annul that because it doesn't get her into a problem of inui nefesh as a result simply of being one day without bathing. We continue now at the top of Omid Beis. Shonis im erchatz. Shonis means we've explained what the Mishnah meant when it said that a woman vows using the expression im erchatz. What about the expression im lo erchatz that we found in the Mishnah? Hechi domi. What did she say there? Again, we have a marking, and on the side of more you see the nosei, mivne heading, the double underlined with lettering aleph, beis, and gimel. Gimel shlovim, three stages, k'dei lahasbir beis, and nusach nodra, k'sheomra im lo erchatz. What did the lady say when she used that expression? The Mishnah is quite terse, as we just saw, and here too we need an explanation, we need an elaboration on what was said. So the Gemara continues, I leimo di omra, if you're going to suggest that she said, titzar hanoas rechitza le'olam olai im lo erchatz hayom. I prohibit upon myself the benefits of bathing permanently if I do not bathe today. And the Tanakhama would have said to that the Baal is mefer. So we say, lomo lo hafora. Why is there any need for the Baal to do hafora? Why does he have to annul that? Tit sechi. Let her bathe today. When is the prohibition going to set in if she doesn't bathe today? So we tell the lady, bathe today, and thereby avoid the vow from taking hold. So why does the husband have to get involved? Omar Rav Yehuda, so stage 2, the Umrah, what she said is, Hanoas rechitza olai li'olam im lo erchatz b'mei mashra. I prohibit upon myself the benefits of bathing permanently if I don't bathe in flax water. Mei mashra. Mashra literally means it's soaking. in the preparation of linens. So the first stage after you harvest the flax is the flax plant, the flax reed is soaked in water. Now that water becomes disgusting. A very foul odor is emitted therefrom. So, of course, if the woman's vow was conditional upon her bathing in the May Mashra, so the husband would have to annul that in order for her to avoid that experience. The Gemara asks, if that's the text, and the, by the way, you noticed in this text the im lo erchatz expression, im lo erchatz be May Mashra, the Mishnah was referring to this case. The Gemara, though, asks, dekavosei, if, as you continue reading in the Mishnah, dekotoni, it taught another example, im lo es kashet. So, you, as is the case with Mishnayos, we like to maintain a certain type of parallel between the examples or the cases. So, in this case, im lo es kashet, if I don't adorn myself, I don't beautify myself, what was she saying? Then, im lo es kashet beneft, the parallel to the bathing in May Mashra would be that she prohibited upon herself the benefits of cosmetics if she doesn't adorn herself with fuel, with neft, kerosene. Well, lichluchu, that is simple, let's say, dirt. Lichluch is filth. That's not in the category of adornment, of kishut, so that the use of neft in this context wouldn't fit into the words of the Mishnah to begin with. So we don't, if we're going to explain the imlo erchatz as being the imlo erchatz expression of the Mishnah being a condition featuring May Mashra, we don't find a way to continue in the study or the presentation of the Mishnah with regard to the lo imlo es kashet phrase. Therefore, we go to stage 3. Omar Rav Yehuda, the Omra, the woman said, regarding the Imlo Erchatz, she said as follows. Hanoas Ruchitza Le'olam Alai, she prohibits upon herself the benefits of bathing. Im Erchatz Hayom, if I should bathe today. Ushvua Shelo Erchatz. And here you have the negation, the Shelo Erchatz. And it's, we point out, Rashi points out, that contrary to the way we've been approaching the Mishnah till now, namely Im Erchatz and Im Lo Erchatz are two separate cases, stage 3, that is Rav Yehuda here is saying, they're not two separate cases, it's one text. And as we read, Hanos Ruchitza Le'olam Alai Im Erchatz Hayom, she is prohibiting through a vow permanent benefit from bathing if she bathes today. And then she, so at that stage, she would have to avoid bathing. And then she swears, Shvua Shelo Erchatz. She swears not to bathe. Regarding that, the Tanakhama would say that the husband has to be Mefer. If he, you know, that type of vow needs Haforah. Likewise, Hanoas Kishut Olai Lo'olom Im Eskashet Hayom, the benefits of cosmetics she prohibits upon herself permanently if she puts on cosmetics today. Ushvua Shelo Eskashet, and she swears not to put on cosmetics. Omar Lei Ravina L'Ravashi. So, upon hearing this suggestion, Ravina asks, "Hi, Elu Nidorim U Shvuos Miboya Leilamisni." Then the text of the Mishnah should have been, "These are the Nidorim; these are the vows and oaths." And yet the Mishnah doesn't read like that. Omar Lei. So, approach number one to this question: you have Ravashi answering. Tani, so understand the Mishnah as Elu Nidorim Ushvuos. So that even though the Mishnah says Elu Nidorim She Yesh Bahem Inui Nefesh, nevertheless understand this, we'll say, addition, namely Elu Nedarim, or actually the Mishnah that said Elu Nedarim Shehu Mefer, it should have said Elu Nedarim Ushvuas Shehu Mefer. The Eboyus Ema, another approach to answering the question that Ravino raised, Shvuos Nami Hainu Nedarim. Ravino had asked, shouldn't the Mishnah then read Elu Nedarim Ushvuas? Answer number two says no need for that, because the term Shvuos is included in the term Nedarim. Nedarim is a type of umbrella expression. Disnan, as we have learned elsewhere, Kenidre Rishoyim, if a person says that he is accepting upon himself, like the Nidre Rishoyim, what is he bound to? Nodar, Benozir, Ubekorban, Ubeshvua. By having vowed thusly, he is considered having taken upon himself Nazirus, obligating himself in bringing a sacrifice, and is bound by an oath. So that you see, by using the expression kenidre, you're binding yourself to an oath as well. Before we continue, we glance at the side, we have a nosei, a topic heading. Lefi harabonon derechitza have mishum inui, lama lo chayovin oleo kores biyom hakipurim. If rechitza is considered inui nefesh, according to the Tanakhama, then why on Yom Kippur, where you see in the Torah the same expression, inui, tanu es nafshei seichem, the Pasuk says, why then do we know that in Yom Kippur violation, one is considered guilty of a kores punishment only if he eats or drinks, or of course does malocha, does some type of creative activity. However, for bathing, there is no kores punishment. The Gemara. Now, note we have a long question followed by a long answer. The Omru Rabbanan, Rechitza ispo inui nefesh ki lo rochatza. According to the Rabbanan, the Tanakhama in our Mishnah, there is an inui element in one who does not bathe. It's called, according to the Chachamim, the non-bathing is called inui nefesh, and hence it's within the realm of the husband's ability to annul. The Ramini, we raise a seeming contradiction from the topic of Yom Kippur. It says in the Tanaic source, Afa Pisha also Bekulan, even though one on Yom Kippur is prohibited from a number of different actions, besides the eating and drinking, he's prohibited in bathing, in anointing him, smearing creams on himself, wearing shoes, intimacy with one spouse. So even though all of those are prohibited on Yom Kippur, Einonish Kores Ela Ba'ochel V'Shoisev Oisem Alochel Bilvad. The Kores penalty applies only to eating, drinking, and performance of malachas. Ve'i Amris Kilo rochatza iko inui. If you're going to say that non-bathing results, according to the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, in inui, biyom kipurim ki rochatz l'chayiv kores. On Yom Kippur, if one were to bathe, they should be chayiv kores for that as well. Omar Rava. Note the long answer. Hocha me'inyona dekra. And the text adds, v'hocha me'inyona dekra. It's true that Rechitza is called Inui with regard to Yom Kippur. However, you have to study the Psukim in their context. And with that, you'll appreciate the difference between Yom Kippur and what results in Kores versus Nedarim and what is considered Inui. We've highlighted the two topics using a trapezoid, as the Mivneh explanation on the side indicates, the Chiluk Bein Nedarim Liyom Kippur. So we explain as follows. Gabi Yom HaKippurim Dichtiv Ta'anu Es Nafsho Sechem. On Yom Kippur, where this expression appears, Ta'an, that's what the Pasuk says. Ta'anu Es Nafsho Sechem. Milsa diyoda inuya hashta. The grammar, the linguistics of this pasuk convey the idea of immediate deprivation or suffering. That is the kind of inui that results in kores. And what is that? Well, non-eating, non-drinking. This is something a person is accustomed to doing several times a day, even. So the self-deprivation, which is demanded of a person on Yom Kippur from those actions, result in an immediate feeling of suffering. It's an immediate feeling, meaning on that very day you feel the deprivation. Rechitza lo yoda inuya hashta. Non-bathing, true, it might be called inui, but it's not of an immediate nature. If one doesn't bathe today, that doesn't mean that later that day he's going to feel the deprivation, the pain or suffering of that. Gabi nedorim dichtiv. However, with regard to nedorim, it says, kol neder v'chol shuas isu la'anois nefesh. Now this expression, la'anois nefesh, milsa de asya lidei inui. This is a reference to something that is mashma, it implies something in the future, something that will lead to a feeling of suffering, a feeling of pain. V'chilo rochatzo asya lidei inui. When a person doesn't bathe, in this case when the woman doesn't bathe, the non-bathing will come to a feeling of pain, of extreme discomfort. So therefore, the non-bathing vow falls in the realm of those vows that we call inui nefesh that a husband has jurisdiction over, and hence can annul. As you can see, we have a slash mark, which indicates that which follows is a new trend of thought. On the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading, in which we've written, Biur Shitas Rabbi Yossi. We're going to focus and clarify, Biur's to clarify Rabbi Yossi's opinion. Kan Rabbi Yossi served the Rechitza Lesbo Mishum Inui Nefesh. Here, in our Mishnah, we get the feeling that Rabbi Yossi holds that non-bathing is not an issue of inui nefesh. Mokamacher, in another place, Rabbi Yossi Omer, tekvisa debegodim, the washing of clothing, ispa mishum tsar, is something that is related to pain, which is the equivalent of inui nefesh. Mashma dekol shekein rechitzav, we'll say the non-washing of clothing falls in the realm of tsar, so all the more so, the thinking is right now, all the more so, the lack of bathing, of bodily bathing, should be considered tsar or inui nefesh. So now let's see the issue. Note that we have a long question taking us to the top line of Daf Pei Aleph Amud Aleph. By the way, if you need to access marked Gemaras, you can get in touch with us at gmarkings@gmail.com. We have a Tanaic source. It features a stream of water, a live stream, which emanates from one town, and it flows downstream, running by or within another community. We're going to see in this source a situation where the amount of water that flows in this stream is somewhat limited. The Gemara. V'rami d'Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi. Let us present a stira, a seeming contradiction within the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Up till now, in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi was presented as someone holding that rechitza does not come in the realm of inui nefesh. Ma'yon shel b'nei ha'ir. Chayehen v'chaye achirim. There is a limited amount of water. It's a type of either-or situation. It's either the people from that are close to the origin of the stream will have for their own drinking purposes, or the drinking purposes of some of the community downstream. Who gets the water? Chayen koidmin l'chayachirim. They can, in effect, dam up the stream at the low end of their community, and that's based on this idea that their own life, their own self-preservation comes before that of others. We take a look at Rashi, who expounds on this a bit. Rashi toward the end of the narrow lines, Mayon shel b'nei ha'ir, shemoshech v'hoylich lir acheres, a stream that flows from one community to another, v'ein bo elo kedei sipuk shtiosen shel b'nei ha'ir, and there's only enough water for the first community, harushus b'yonun l'soismai, it is within their power to stop it, to dam it up, shelo yelich l'yisir acheres, shelamata ha'imena, that it should not flow downstream to the next community, lefi shehamayim shelahem heim, because the water, in effect, is theirs, the community from which the stream originates, v'mayim b'shusan, and it's in their domain, chayen koyim l'chayi acherim, and as a result, their life comes before the life of others. We continue in the Gemara, Behemton ubehema sacherim. If, let us say, there is enough water for themselves and for the people downstream, however, there is not enough in the balance for the animals of the people downstream as well. So we have a quantity of water emanating from this stream that's enough to provide the drinking needs of the two communities and the animals of the people upstream. That's the case here. Behemton ubehemas acherim, behemton koidemes lebehemas acherim. The animals' welfare of the people upstream come before the benefit of the animals of the people downstream. Kvisasan ukvisas acherim. Using the same model, and here we're going into a third need of water, and that is for the washing of clothing. So the people upstream preempt those of the people downstream with regard to the bathing, the washing of clothing. Now we have a new combination, chaye acherim ukvisasan. Here you have people upstream that have enough water for their needs, including their clothing washing. However, if they use the water for their clothing washing, it's going to come at the expense of the chayei acherim, of the drinking of the people downstream. So the first opinion says, chayei acherim koidmin likvisasan. The drinking needs of the people downstream come before the clothing washing of the people upstream. Rabbi Yossi Omer, and here we really want to focus on Rabbi Yossi, and that's why we've dashed underline his name. He says, kvisasan kidemis l'chei achirim. He says, the washing of clothing, the clothing washing needs of the people upstream come before the drinking needs of the people downstream. And now you can make the following kal v'chomer. Hashto kvisom Rabbi Yossi yesh batzar. Now we're saying that the non-washing of clothing would lead to pain. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yossi, the people upstream are able to preempt those downstream, even if it's a matter of their drinking needs. And here we're talking only about clothing washing. The Gemara continues at the top of Pei Aleph Amud Aleph. Guf kulo lo kol shekein. Entire body washing all the more so. So you see that in Rabbi Yossi's worldview, bathing is considered a very, very significant form, or I should say the lack thereof, a very significant form of inui. How then can Rabbi Yossi, before, namely in our Mishnah, be portrayed as someone that says that inui, that mechitza doesn't get into the realm of inui nefesh? The Gemara answers, And it says, the answer basically is saying that the assumption that we made is incorrect. Amri in Kavisa Alima Rabbi Yossi. The non-washing of clothing is in fact a more significant concern than the body washing of a person. The Omar Shmuel, Hai Ibuvya Duration. Actually, before we go on, let's just review the last point. And as a result of this, you can see that Rav Yossi gets very serious when it comes to the issue of washing clothing. But with regard to body washing, it's not such a serious matter. And hence, there's no contradiction between our Mishnah, which has Rav Yossi holding that Rechitza Ein Bo Mishuminu Nefesh, and this Tanaic source, which agrees, Rabbi Yossi will say that body washing is Ein Bo Mishuminu Nefesh. Kavisa is a different story. Kavisa, washing of clothing, is a different story. And the ability to see this difference is illustrated in the following couple of lines, where Shmuel presents a number of examples of situations where there's a non-washing, non-bathing of. So Shmuel said, Yomar, Shmuel hai ir buvisa deresha, masya lidei avira. If you look in the Ran commentary, three lines from the top, ar buvisa deresha, kishenu misarek roshi tomid, umitokach ikar ar buvisa deresha. Person doesn't comb his hair, and as a result, there's a lot of debris that accumulates, a lot of dirt and debris that accumulates in one's hair. So this can lead to blindness, so that the filth in one's hair diminishes one's eyesight. Number two, arbuvisa demoni. Again, the word arbuvisa with all that it implies. And here it's when filth accumulates in money, in clothing. Masya lede shamumisa. This can lead to a person losing his mind. Shamumisa is shiamum v'timahon leiv. A person, as we would say in the more colloquial terms, a person can go crazy. And arbuvisa de gufa, this is the filth accumulating on one's body as a result of non-body bathing. Masya lidei shichani v'kivi. This could lead to boils and sores on a person's body. And here we have to emphasize that which you can find in Rashi, that shiamumisa, mental craziness, is worse than this physical discomfort, physical pain experienced through boils and sores. And the Ran explains, boils and sores have potions, have therapeutic methods to alleviate their pain. But when it comes to mental disorders, that is a much more difficult, possibly insoluble issue. Hence, as we said before, Rabbi Yossi holds like this teaching of Shmuel, that non-washing of clothing is a more serious matter than non-body washing. Shochu mitam, a message was sent from there, that Hizaru b'arbuvisa, Hizaru b'chabura, Hizaru b'vnei aniyim, that one should care not to experience arbuvisa. We explained already the issue of washing of clothing and bathing. One should be careful to wash and bathe, and be careful of chabura. What does that mean, Hizaru b'chabura? So we look at the Ran, Hizaru b'chabura, l'lamei Torah b'chabura, one should be diligent. Hizaru can mean careful or be diligent in teaching Torah in a group. Shatalmide mechadidim zeh zeh v'esarav. Teaching Torah to students ends up with each student becoming sharper as a result, and the instructor himself increases his sharpness. And the third message that was part of the message of Sholchu Mitam that was sent from there, from Eretz Yisrael, was one should note, be careful, give proper honor to the children of the poor. Bivnaniyim, why? Shemehem teitzitor, from them comes forth Torah. Shenemar, the Pusik says, Yizal Mayim Midolyo. That's the Pusik itself. And the word Dal is a reference to the impoverished. Midalin, the Midolyo means, in this drusha, means from the poor. There will run forth water. Water is compared to Torah. Torah, I should say, is compared to water. Shemehen teitzei Torah. The Ran commentary here says, "Hizar b'vnei aniyim lishtadel l'lamdom Torah. Be diligent, make all efforts to teach the children of the poor Torah. Shemehem teitzei Torah. From them, you'll find Torah greatness. She'ein lehem esek achir. First of all, they have no other preoccupation." And furthermore, they are, generally speaking, more humble than others. Come from humble surroundings, a humble environment. So they themselves are humble, and humility is one of, if not the most important ingredient, most important attribute in order to achieve Torah greatness. Of course, the greatest of the humble was Moshe Rabbeinu, who of course is the greatest of our Torah personalities. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.